Good morning. Open in your Bibles as we continue our reading of Scripture together. We've made it all the way to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. And now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will pay heed to what you say. And you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it, and after that he will let you go. And I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. So reads the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. And he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. In this passage, detailing the Lord revealing his plan and purpose to Moses for the release of the children of Israel from slavery, we are met with a real expression of what happens when we come face to face with God. We have this man Moses herding his flocks when he saw the burning bush which was not being consumed. In the miraculous display of the fiery presence of God, this man acted with natural fear and hid his face. When Moses realized with whom he was communicating, there was the recognition that the holiness and the righteousness of God was too much to bear, and that his natural being was in peril of utter destruction. This follows back to the very beginning when sin entered into the heart of man and Adam became afraid of walking and talking with God. Genesis 3, 9 and 10. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. From that point on, man tried to hide himself from God, because God's perfection of love so overwhelms and displays our defiled and awful nature of sin and shame. Throughout the Scripture, as we will consider, when mankind is in the presence of God, we see ourselves and we know that we deserve only immediate and all-consuming death. The dreadful consequence of Adam's sin in the garden made every interaction with God one that included a true picture of what sin has done to the relationship that God the Creator had purposed with His creation. This is why there is fear evidenced in man's every interaction with God. It is anything but the instant and blessed knowledge of God as the one who wants to express His love to us and to be with us in a one-to-one relationship. It is our dreadful heart stained with the blackness of who we are that prevents that instant and joy-filled knowledge that God wants to spend time with us, not punish us. This will never be put away until we come to Him in the covering of Christ's righteousness and holiness, as we are now washed white as snow through Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice. Throughout the accounts of the Scriptures, as God manifested Himself to man, God continually had to soothe those fears of instant annihilation by lovingly pointing to the fact that He was not there to punish their iniquities, but He was there to provide a way of salvation. Only God could and would do this. Even when God was dealing with the one who would be called His friend, Abraham, there was that recognition on the part of Abraham that it was only by the grace and the mercy and the beneficence of God that Abraham was not instantaneously consumed by his own iniquities. It was faith in God's promise of life and protection that made the way for all that would be brought into place through God's friendship and His loving kindness. Please note as we read this promise that Abraham could not stand in the presence of God. He fell to his face before the awesome Lord God Almighty. Turn to Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8, and please follow along. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God was declaring all the gloriousness of what He was going to do through the lineage of Abraham. And yet Abraham could not but fall to the ground, keeping his face lowered, both in fear and in humility, to be in the presence of the holy and blessed Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. This was long after Abraham had begun his walk with God, and after he had moved to the land of promise, being led there by God. He was no stranger to God, and it was recorded often that he was God's friend. And yet, even he was not able to stand in the presence of the Most Glorious One. There was still the realization that Abraham was but a man, created for the plan and purpose of the One who chose to talk with him and bless him and his descendants forever. We see this again when God told Jacob of the same blessing being put upon him as the grandson of Abraham. Please follow along in Genesis 28, 13 through 17. Genesis 28, 13 through 17. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Notice the immediate reaction of Jacob upon his awakening. It was not a matter of marvel or blessing or happiness or wonder. It was fear. God had told him all these marvelous things. But he was afraid. He was afraid in the fact that he had seen God, even though the Lord himself pronounced his blessing upon Jacob. His instant reaction was one of being afraid that he would die. Then he recognized that he had been blessed, and that what God had brought to him was not punishment, but the continued declaration of his blessing and promise directly into Abraham, into Jacob's mind and heart and ears. We see this human fear of death exhibited in the visitation of the angel of the Lord to Manoah and his wife as they were being instructed regarding the birth and the raising of their son Samson. Please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 13, verses 15 through 23. Judges chapter 13. Again, this was good news to this couple and to the people of God from the Lord Himself. Yet in the reading of it, please note how Manoah's wife had to convince him that they were not now going to die because they had been directly contacted by God. It is this inherent fear and dread of God that sadly so flavored what should have been news of the goodness and the mercy of God to His people. Judges 13, 15 through 23. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you so that we may prepare a kid for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the kid with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord. And he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came about when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Then Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah or his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands. Nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear things like this at this time." Even after they had both seen that the angel of the Lord was not an angel of judgment, but that he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on, Manoah still thought that they were going to die. There was such a sense of dread at the thought that God would visit Himself upon those who had been so born in sin that shame permeated the whole thinking of the people. It is a very sad indictment of just how foul and twisted mankind is in the grips of unrighteousness and disobedience to God. The inner core of men is so rotted that mankind refuses to acknowledge the grace and the mercy and the love of God, even after He has so fully shown Himself in such marvelous and tremendous ways. This was so true that even the great prophet Elijah struggled with this fear in the presence of God. Here was a man of God who had seen and spoken marvelous things of the Lord to all who would listen. He knew the ways of the Lord and judged the people with the equity and the mercy of God as per the Lord's specific instructions. Yet, because Elijah was aware of the deeds and the disobedience and the treachery of the heart of men, he could not bring himself to face the Lord directly, but shielded himself when in the presence of God. Please turn to 1 Kings 19, verses 5 through 13, as we read together of something very special as we seek after the Lord. We will see that Elijah had to cover his face before the Lord. Yet we also want to note how God revealed himself to Elijah in a gentle and refreshing manner. 1 Kings 19, 5 through 13. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, and killed thy prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a sound of a gentle blowing. And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Notice that the Lord, first of all, sustained Elijah for 40 days and 40 nights on his journey. The food that the Lord provided was sufficient to give the prophet the strength to go to the mountain of the Lord. As well, please note that the Lord was passing by the mountain with Elijah in the cave. First, there was a fierce wind that battered the mountain and broke apart the rocks on its slopes. But the Lord was not in the wind. Then there was an earthquake that shook the mountain's foundation. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Next was the fire on the mountain, but the Lord was not in the fire. Finally, there was a gentle breeze, and it was in that tender blowing that the Lord spoke to Elijah. And how did Elijah respond to that mild breeze indicating the presence of the Lord? He wrapped his countenance in his mantle, for he could not face the Lord without a humble covering of his own unworthiness and sinful nature. This is the case in each one of our lives as those who are the redeemed of the Lord. God comes to us not in the violence of judgment, but he comes to us in the gentle encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Admittedly, there are those times of our refusing to obey him or to listen to him in which the force of the Spirit seems to be absolutely devastating. The truth, however, always is that because God so loves us, he treats us as his children. His discipline is right and true altogether and works to establish us into the far greater and living relationship which has always been his heart for you and for me. Our protective covering, by which we are brought into the very immediate and personal presence of God, is the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord and our Savior. No more should our first instinct be fear in our consideration of God at work in our lives. And it's still sad, and it's still true, that when God begins a work in us, many of us become afraid, and we fear, and we tremble. Rather, there should now be that instant longing to know him more and more, day by day, with a yearning that wants to spend time with him in his word, in prayer, in fellowship, in worship, and in trust. There should be a need to express our love unto him because of the fact that he so loves us. We will continue in this vein next time, Lord willing, as we take note of how now in Jesus Christ, the presence of God should cause us to want to serve him rather than to hide from him. So be it. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Amen.